The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God, we thank you for waking us up one more time. We thank you for the opportunity to experience your goodness in the land of the living. And now, God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts might be pleasing and acceptable in your eyes. Oh, God, our rock and our redeemer. In the name and spirit of Jesus, all the people of God said, amen. No one man should have all that power. Before it was the hook of a Kanye West song, it was the opinion of an NYPD captain who observed Malcolm X dispersing a crowd, a growing and agitated crowd, protesting the beating of two black Muslims. And the fear was that if he could influence that many people, that the police would not be able to control the people of New York. And so Malcolm X found himself an enemy of the structural powers that be because of the relational power that he exercised. Power rarely responds well to power unless they have the same aims. One of the things that drew me to this congregation was its demonstrated track record of speaking truthfully about power and its commitment to organizing power to bring peace. Like Raleigh Mennonite's participation in One Wake was included in the congregational information form. And I found One Wake's stated mission of building power to make change not only in line with my personal convictions, but the very manifestation of the kingdom of heaven, which begins like a mustard seed and then grows into a tree so large, so vast that birds find refuge in its branches. Now, power is a dangerous thing. It contains the ability to build and the capacity to destroy. Power is the fuel behind both redemption and condemnation. And forgive me for being a little trite here, but without power, we are powerless. And the reason that organizations like One Wake exist is because disorganized power has a way of laying dormant. I ever tell you guys about the time I got a tattoo of a tweet? Okay, this is a true story. Now, back in September of 2021, there's a Canadian pastor named Daniel M. who posted a prompt on Twitter asking if Jesus had a political slogan, what would it be? And a pastor out of Columbus, Ohio named Rich Johnson replied, "On earth as it is in heaven." And then I was in a chair in like a matter of hours getting those words etched into my forearm. On earth as it is in heaven. A guiding principle, a reminder, a prayer. It is not only how Jesus teaches his disciples to pray in what we now recognize as the Lord's Prayer. It is essentially what Jesus tells his disciple about the collective power they have if they can be organized and in agreement. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. If even two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by Jesus's Father in heaven. There's a way of holding the Christian faith that tells us that the ultimate aim is making it to heaven, where a prayer of confession and a declaration of repentance is treated like a get out of hell free card. There's this emphasis placed on the afterlife that strikes me as odd when the marvel of the Jesus story is the incarnation. It is the journey from heaven to earth that shows us the love of God, that communicates the depths of God's commitment to our wholeness in the here and now. It's the resurrection, the raising back to life in this here plane of existence that gives us hope. It seems to me that this life we have right now is pretty important to God, and that our faith ought to have something significant to say about it. And when Jesus talks to his followers about heaven in Matthew chapter 18, he explicitly links it to the power that they have here on earth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in Christ, we are co-authors with the divine. In Christ, we receive the power to constrain and to liberate, and in so doing, to alter the course of heaven. I think it's a mistake to merely think of heaven as the place that awaits us on the other side of the grave. Heaven is not only waiting on us, it is shaped by us. If you are looking for a place to mentally check out, if this is going on a little long for you, that's the whole sermon right there. Heaven is not only waiting on us, it is shaped by us. But Jesus' words do not only serve as an encouragement to a people often prone to forgetting about their power. Jesus' words here also serve as a warning about the dangers of power. It is not only the good things that we release on earth that are released in heaven, nor is our power to bind on heaven and earth restricted to the bad things that we prohibit. No, whatever we bind and whatever we loose, within our grasp is the power to make the planet that we share more heavenly and the power to render heaven more earthly. We're capable of building peace in the here and now, and we're capable of whitewashing the imagination to make what we have right now seem heavenly. Martin Luther King Jr. and Jerry Falwell Sr. were both Baptist ministers born in the American South within 4 years of each other. They both engaged in activism, but their views of justice and a rightly ordered society could hardly have been further apart. At the very same time that Martin Luther King Jr. spoke of and organized around a more inclusive table of brotherhood, Jerry Falwell Sr. spoke of and organized around God's intention for the separation of races. Both of them found sympathetic collaborators for their cause, and both of them achieved a measure of success in what they sought to do as a result. Martin Luther King Jr. and his Southern Christian Leadership Conference were able to see segregation toppled legally at the same time that Jerry Falwell Sr. was organizing segregation academies in the name of Jesus. Jesus found himself in the midst of the struggle for civil rights and in the battle for the status quo. Two vastly different views of heaven yielded two vastly different exercises of collective power. And within the body of Christ, there is the power to shape heaven and earth in the mold of either of those visions. What do we do with a God that shares such a power with us? In her 1992 book, Return to Love, Marianne Williamson suggests that our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. Let's pause for a moment to entertain that possibility, that at the end of the day, God has entrusted us with a power that is absolutely frightening. A power so significant that we are no longer able to comfortably hide behind trite responses about inexplicable tragedies somehow being within the will of God. A power so dynamic that we become not only beneficiaries of the kingdom of heaven, but designers of heaven. A power that will not allow us to credit or blame God for that which can be sufficiently explained by holding hands and looking in the mirror. Earlier this week, our eldest daughter sent us this TikTok reel about our president's historically low approval rating. Or perhaps it's a historically high disapproval rating. I'm not sure which of those is the more charitable reading. This reality raises an interesting question. In an allegedly democratic society, how can someone so soundly disliked have won an election so consequential? Twice, in fact. The answer to that question is in part because some people with the right to shape our government did not exercise that right. Whether through suppression or indifference, a great deal of people with the right to vote did not end up voting. When people who have the ability to shape a society decline to do so, it becomes easier to organize a minority of people to make significant change by moving in agreement. This works for good and bad. It is worth noting that Jesus does not say what he is doing among those who are gathered in his name. The presence of Jesus is the presence of peace. But peace must be made before peace can be experienced. And so we must ask ourselves what is revealed in the presence of Jesus. In the book of Revelation, John the Revelator describes a vision of Jesus speaking to seven churches in Asia, wherein they receive either commendations or condemnations or some combination of the two. In the incarnation, Christ becomes a bridge between heaven and earth. And in the resurrection, our toll on the bridge is paid. And we are called to account for how we've used or neglected that bridge. Will Jesus commend the world we've built in his name and the heaven that has resulted? Or will Jesus condemn the world we've built and the heavenly home we've destroyed? When I draw comparisons between the witness and the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. and Jerry Falwell Sr., I'm not suggesting that their use of the name of Jesus meant that both of their programs were equally valid presentations of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm suggesting that they both experienced the power of the name. I believe that the Christianity that Jerry Falwell Sr. propagated with his moral majority successfully placed a straitjacket on the world and made heaven a bit smaller. I believe that the beloved community Martin Luther King Jr. organized with his Southern Christian Leadership Conference expanded the capacity for justice and drew the circle around heaven a bit wider. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And right now, God invites us to be collaborators in remodeling both in Christ. I believe that there is justice in heaven. And if we believe that there is justice in heaven, then we must release justice here on earth. If we believe that there is peace in heaven, then we must release peace here on earth. If we believe that there is enough for everyone to thrive in heaven, then we must redistribute the resources available to us here on earth. It is within our power to do so. And when we agree on earth about anything we ask, it will be done by our Father in heaven. When we agree on earth, we can change the world. This is not just theory. This is action. This is the WAKE, Interfaith Immigration Network, standing for the dignity of our immigrant and refugee neighbors. This is the North Carolina Coalition for Alternatives to the Death Penalty, committing to ending the death penalty and creating a new vision for justice. This is Mennonite Action for a Free Palestine and the liberation of all of God's children. This is One WAKE organizing for affordable housing, and each of y'all joining us at St. Francis of Assisi on September 19th. This is us agreeing and gathering in the name of Jesus, recognizing that there is room in the reign of God for all of us, and that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will build it on earth as it is in heaven. And my prayer, as always, is that each of us might live to see and experience the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. May it be so.